Welcome back to the Anarcho Book Club. Alright, so this week, we are not going to continue with Hero with a Thousand Faces. The last couple of weeks, I have been working on things around my house. I've been working on some other projects. And although I have read the next few sections, in fact, of the book, I haven't really prepared any coherent thoughts. I haven't really prepared anything that would do the next section justice. In fact, I think we're going to do the next couple of sections, even though... So the next section is pretty big, but I think we can cover that one and stay within... So I don't know if you have noticed, but I try to shoot for like 45 minutes-ish, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a couple minutes more. But 45 minutes is kind of what I shoot for. If I hit that, then I say I'm good. I think we got enough content in to justify sitting down and recording. But I think we'll be able to get through this next big section in much less than 45 minutes. So I think we're going to try to get a couple of sections in. And so this is going to throw off the schedule a little bit, but it might speed it up and keep us on track since I missed 2 weeks. So that's kind of the plan. It's kind of on the back burner for this week. But there were a few things I wanted to update everyone on, so I wanted to make a kind of a shorter episode. This one will not be 45 minutes. I don't know how long it'll be, but it won't be that long. So what I wanted to do today was basically sort of give sort of like an update about what I've been doing, what I've been planning, and kind of going forward from here. Because we're, I don't know, I've been doing this for almost a year now. And I'm starting to get the hang of things. In fact, these last 2 weeks, while I kind of took them off to do some things around here, I kept thinking of things that I would like to talk about. And of course, the book club is the book club. We're going to base most of what we do off of books that we read. I haven't gotten a lot of feedback, however. I mean, I get some. I get quite a bit, I guess, but not a lot of suggestions. So I'm going to put my contact links in the description of this episode, or whatever you call it, the notes or whatever. I'm going to put that in there, and I would like you to contact me in one way or another, and just kind of tell me what you think would be the best form of communication, or if you even care about communication. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just want to keep, maybe you just want to listen and that's it. Maybe that's all you want from this and that's fine. But I would like some feedback from some people on kind of, well, mainly what books you want to hear about, what philosophies, because I don't think we should just pin this down to just books. Although there will be books around what we do. But I don't think we should do it just where I read a book and then I give you my thoughts on it. I think probably we can cover philosophies as well. For instance, early on, I covered Samuel Edward Konkin III. Ah, you hear my dog in the back. Let's see if he calms down. Okay, so Samuel Edward Konkin III in Agorism, which is one of the philosophies that is near and dear to my heart. And we've talked about that quite a bit, I think, throughout, not just in that episode. And it's something that motivates me in life, is some of the philosophies within agorism. Now, I wouldn't claim to be an agorist, per se, but there are a lot of philosophies there that I draw on. And one of the major ones is decentralizing yourself away from massive corporations, which are state entities, really. They are state-like entities, I guess it would be. So like banks, for instance. And the best way to do that I've seen is through cryptocurrencies. I ragged on cryptocurrencies for years now, or I have ragged, I should say, on cryptocurrencies for years. But more recently, I'm starting to notice that they are a viable method, I think, for decentralizing yourself away from the banksters and from the massive corporations that would seek to control you. And so I invested. Now, if you follow me on Mastodon, you'll know I invested in Bitcoin. I created a Bitcoin wallet. I'm running a Bitcoin Core node. But yesterday, I downgraded that node to a very small node, just the most recent transaction. Because I'm noticing something about Bitcoin It's been all these years, and the transaction fees, like if I want to send you $15 worth of Bitcoin, the transaction fee is so massive, it's not even worth it. Now for huge transactions, it may be viable. But even I've heard people talk about the Lightning Network. In fact, one of the podcasts I listen to, they really push the Lightning Network and how fast it is and how cheap it is, how great it is. The thing is, I consider myself relatively experienced in Linux and using Linux and using computers, as it were. But every time I see, so I was directed to the LND GitHub page. And you know what? Let me just bring it up right now. All right, here it is. So every time I see a project like this, where first, okay, so you set up your Bitcoin Core node, and now you install yet another program for the Lightning Network. Now, at this point, I have to stop and ask myself, so how does this work? This is what I'm always asking myself with everything that I install. How does it work? And if I can't immediately understand how it works, I'll dig into it. And so I did. I dug into the Lightning Network and the technologies built upon it and so on. Like there's something called Sphinx Chat, which looks pretty cool. But one day, and I was really, okay, so I'll put it this way. I was really getting involved in it. I was really kind of digging into it. I installed it. I got it all running. But one day I sat back and I just realized how much time and effort I've put into this. And what have I gotten out of it? It's like, okay, so I've gotten some idea of how it all works. I think some people can use it. I've seen a lot of people using the Lightning Network. But in the end, I wasn't convinced that it was really a viable solution. So I work in IT. That's my day job. I encounter people every day, maybe 30 or 40 people a day, if you just count the main issues I have to help people out with. If you count all the emails I respond to as well, I probably see 100 to 150 people a day. And after the past 6 months or so of doing, just kind of thinking about how many people I've probably helped, and actually I can see that because through my job, it shows me how many tickets I've completed. I've completed over 8,000 tickets in the last 6 months, I think. Maybe that's only the last 4 months. I'm not sure. But just think, 8,000 people. And out of all of them, there is only one person in all of those people that I think may be able to grasp the ideas around Bitcoin and the Lightning Network and use it effectively. So that's one person out of 1,000. Now, this is all here. I mean, this is all my own experience. But that's one person out of around 8,000 people. And then you think, but does that person, in this case he, does he want to do that? Would he want to do that? Say he's interested in doing it. Would he want to spend the hours and hours that I spent figuring this out? And the answer, and I talked to him for a while, because we had a lot to talk about, the answer to that is no, he would not want to spend that time setting that up, even if it meant decentralizing his bank account, for instance. He would not want to. And maybe Bitcoin and the Lightning Network will develop in the future to be viable. But at this point, I wasn't thinking it was viable at all. But I thought, so I've stuck with it because I thought, and I will be sticking with it, by the way. But I thought, well, that let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. But then last night, Thursday, the 24th of June, 2021, I was watching a video from, it doesn't really matter. Mainly because I can't remember the person's name. But I was watching a video, and they talked about Monero. And I thought, what? So I've heard of Monero, but maybe I should really look into this a little bit more. They talked about Monero a whole lot, kind of explained a few things on how it works. And I've always kind of stayed away from Monero because it doesn't have if I understand this right, it doesn't have a coin cap. I thought, well, the problems we have right now with the US dollar, the euro, all of these other, the Swiss franc, all of it, is there is no cap on how much they can create. And there's no limiting factors like being backed by, say, gold or some precious metal, something to limit it, to limit the value if you create too much. There's nothing like that. But then you look at the history of Monero and you see how stable it has been. And then I watched more videos, listened to some people talk about it, And I realize there are things in place that will limit this from growing too fast or too slowly. And so, you know, I decided, okay, I'm just gonna download it and see what it's all about. So I went to Monero, getmonero.org, I believe. Yeah, getmonero.org, downloaded their command line wallet, set up a wallet, ran a node, which is much smaller than Bitcoin right now, so that's good. And as I was setting it up, it said something like, do you want to also mine whenever your computer is inactive? Use some processing cycles for mining. And I thought, wow, there's a Monero miner built into this. And it uses CPU cycles, not GPU cycles. Although I think there is an option for that as well. I thought, okay, so I turned that on. And it hasn't done anything. I've been monitoring it since last night. Hasn't done anything, so maybe that's nothing. But this morning I woke up, and this is what prompted me to make this particular video. I woke up and I realized that was easy. So for Windows, I imagine it's probably easier. For Mac OS, I believe it's probably easier as well, because I think... And for things like operating systems like Ubuntu or Arch or Manjaro, or whatever you call it. What is it? Manjaro? Anyway, Arch and those Arch derivatives, they have it in the AUR, where they can just install it real quick and easy. And it's one program. And you don't need a Lightning network for transactions to be cheap and relatively quick. Now, I haven't tested it, so I don't know how quick it actually is or how cheap it actually is. But from everything I've read, it's very cheap to transfer funds, and it's very quick, which I think that... Oh, and here is the other thing. Bitcoin is completely auditable. Anyone can see how much money you have in any of your wallets at any given time. Anyone can see every single transaction you make. And a lot of people make this argument that, well, I've got nothing to hide, so it doesn't really matter to me. And okay, fair enough. Except that like your money, like your ability to purchase food and items like that, to me, at least in my perspective, from my, like we've talked about before, my worldview, those things should remain private. And Manjaro builds that in. Seems like all the things that all the problems I have with, what did I say? Did I say Manjaro? No, Monero. Monero builds that in. And it seems like all the problems I have with Bitcoin, all the potential failures I see with Bitcoin, it seems like Monero fixes. I'm not sure if that's true. There are certainly a lot of criticism online about that. But to me, it appears that it fixes it all. And I'll be experimenting with that over the next few months to see if it's true that it really does fix those things. Or maybe it doesn't. But comparing the two, the revelation I had about Bitcoin, about only 1 in 8,000 people that I have talked to would even be able to run Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. And even understand what that means. That's the other thing. Because the one person, he probably would understand what that means. But he wouldn't do it. That's a lot of work for something that may or may not even function the way you think it does. Whereas with I've messed myself up. I almost said it again. But with Monero, not Manjaro, with Monero, it's simple. It's easy. And then you can decide if you like it or not. There is no high bar of entry to Monero. Now, I have had a little bit of trouble getting Monero into my wallet, as it were, because I do have a Coinbase account. I've had it for years and years and years, because back in the day I wanted to buy Bitcoin and I bought like $20 worth or something and then sold it because I thought it was stupid. And I just basically reactivated that account, updated the information, and went to find XMR or Monero, and it wasn't there. So that kind of sucks. But what I can do is buy Bitcoin or something else, I don't know, Ethereum. And, oh, well, actually, no, I can't exchange it on the decentralized exchange that I've been using. Which, that's another thing we'll talk about here in just a second. But eventually, I'll be able to buy Monero once I figure out what in the heck I'm doing. So there's another bar of entry. There is one bar of entry that, or bar to the entry of Monero that I have yet to overcome. But it seems like it's something relatively simple, trying to actually get Monero. And actually, if any of you have Monero now, and you would like to donate to the Anarcho Book Club, I will put my, from, so you've probably seen I've been putting my Bitcoin address in the description or show notes or whatever you want to call it. I will start putting the Monero address as well in there. It's also on the About page on the website, which I sort of kind of assume more people are just going to the website than actually subscribing via RSS. But maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But I have had quite a few hits on the website, quite a few more hits than actual RSS downloads. And I only know that. I don't use any kind of tracking software, but I did recently find out that GitLab has like statistics on the, which is how I've got it hosted right now, because once again, I have been running into all sorts of issues self-hosting. The computer I was using turns out to have some faulty hardware in it. And I only just realized that last week because, well, never mind. That's neither here nor there. But, so the way it goes though is, I found out on GitLab I am able to see some statistics. It doesn't collect any data on anyone or anything. It's just like server statistics, basically. And Netlify also has it, but they make you pay $10 a month to see it, so I'm not obviously going to use that. But it seems like there are more page visits than there are downloads. That's what I'm getting at here. So if you are one that likes to go to the website instead of the using the RSS link, then it is in the About page. Otherwise, it will be on every episode show notes. So that's kind of where we're at on... That's kind of what I've been doing. But there's one other thing, and I think I may have started... See, now this is the second time I've recorded this because I realized before something was messed up on my mic. I can't remember. Hold on a second. So one other update, because I realized I didn't cover this in this version of the recording yet. One other update is I am so close to switching full-time to my PinePhone, it is not even funny. And the secret to that magic is something, a little project known as SXMO. I will put a link to it in the show notes, description, whatever you call it. I don't know what you even call it. But I will put a link to the project. It is, simply put, awesome. It is so friggin' awesome that they've come up with something like this. And it's a reimagining of the smartphone interface. A complete rewrite of the smartphone interface. And I love it. It's so cool. It's gesture-based, so swiping up, down, left, right, you know, all that stuff. But it also is script-based. So instead of having, like, an application for your phone for calling and voicemail and all that, instead of having separate applications for those, I mean, technically, I guess they are sort of separate applications, but instead of that, you have scripts. So you have a script for calling, and I think there's a way to integrate your address book as well. So this is all still beta, so... But it is so close, and it works so well. And then you have SMS messaging integrated as a script. I'm currently trying to figure out how to integrate Profanity, the XMPP client, into it as a script as well. I am not very good with shell scripting, but I am slowly figuring it out. I can get it to load, so that's good. But I'd like it to feed through DMenu, like the like with notifications. So with SMS, you get notifications, and it feeds through a little DMenu notification thing. At least that's how I understand it. I'm trying to figure out, basically, by copying their SMS script and trying to make it line up with XMPP, but how to get those notifications to pop out and then be able to reply by tapping that notification. And I haven't quite figured it out yet, though. But basically, and basically how you reply to an SMS through the notification is you type it into DMenu, into a little bar on DMenu. And so they changed the whole game, though. It's so, so cool. Because it's not like your Android experience or your iPhone experience, like what Phosh and KDE and Ubuntu Touch are doing. And by the way, just as a side note, Phosh, I have used it. I used it actually for the first couple of months of owning this PinePhone. And it's not that it's laggy that makes it trash to me. And this is my opinion, just so you know. I hate Phosh. It's probably one of the worst, because it feels like it's trying to imitate something that it doesn't need to be imitating. I mean, it almost feels like it's imitating the GNOME interface, but then scaling it down to the phone UI. But then how things work on it, I don't know. It's very graphics heavy, and of course the PinePhone, even the Librem 5 doesn't like graphics heavy very much from what I can tell. And everything about it just kind of put me off. So, and then I switched to KDE, Plasma Mobile. And that was good. That was actually really good. It was very Androidy, but so I was kind of familiar with it. But then I stumbled upon SXMO. And let me tell you, I'm writing a review on it now that I'll put up on the website. It is a fantastic experience, even with all the bugs. Because there are bugs. Like I said, it is like beta software. I don't know, they might even classify it as alpha software, I'm not sure. But it is beta software. But there are a lot of people involved. Hopefully I can get Profanity integrated the way I want it to be. And then I can hopefully communicate with them and get it added, at least the script added as a downloadable script. It is really, really cool. And this is the same thing. Like I was talking about Bitcoin and the bars to entry. So far, the major bar to entry on the PinePhone has been that every operating system that you put on it kind of sucks because it's so laggy. Things just don't work. And I know it's all in development and all that, but SXMO really, it lowers that bar down so that like if it came preloaded with it, now there is one thing I would like is like an overlay on how things work. That's one thing they don't have. Or something like a document that pops up on first run on how things work. Because it is different. It's completely different. But it lowers the bar of entry so much that I think anyone could use it and think, this is a good phone. They're not going to think, hey, I'm going to play some crazy Android game on it. Or they're not going to, you know, it's not going to be the same, but it's going to be very usable. And once you get used to the interface, it's very useful as well. It is, in fact, a handheld computer at that point, which is what I kind of see a smartphone is, just a handheld computer, a PDA of sorts that you can call from and text from, message from. And there's another thing. I would like to see better support for email on it, but I know that's probably coming eventually. So, but anyway, that's kind of what I wanted to touch on that before we left for the day. And of course, this is going to be a very short episode. So, but next week we will get more into the Hero with 1,000 Faces and hopefully cover a lot of ground in that. In fact, after I hit stop on this, I will be diving into what I've already read and start making my notes and organizing my thoughts around it. I guess after I get all this posted, I will be doing that. So I think that's it. I think that's it. I think that's it for today. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Let's have some homework though. What have you done lately to decentralize yourself from the wider centralized universe? I'm talking real life stuff. Maybe you should check out Monero. You can start the journey to decentralizing your bank or your savings account or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I would advise doing that yet, but just check it out. Or like, for instance, I think I posted some pictures of all the broccoli I got from my garden already. Now, I think the soil must have not been as good as I thought it was. Next year, it will be better because I have a lot of composting up now that I'll be covering it up for the winter. But my broccoli was a little bit long, like instead of it being short, clumpy chunks, they were a bit stringy looking, but they tasted good. And I believe they had quite a bit of, the nutrients that I seek out of broccoli. My cauliflower is coming in and it's actually becoming clumpy. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just the type of broccoli I bought. I may have just harvested it too late, like a week or so too late, but. And then strawberries. My strawberries are coming in. So these are the fruits of my labor. I recently got a fine from the local government because apparently they have drones now that they are flying over. This is a small town, city, I guess. It's more than, so what is a city? It's over 3,000 people makes it a city. So technically it's a city. It's a small city. And somehow they have drones. So that's great. They flew it over my property and saw my rain barrels and decided, hey, that's a fine, and an order to get rid of them. So I did promptly remove them, and today, later today, after it stops raining, I will be digging a hole and burying them so next time they won't be able to see this. And I will be installing a pump into them as well, now, like a hand pump, so I can hand water my crops. So that's what I've done. What have you done? I just think it's a great idea to kind of keep on becoming a little bit more self-sufficient. Not like, for instance, I don't go to Walmart anymore, and I think that's awesome. I'm not relying on that massive corporation, at least. Now, of course, there are others I am, but eventually I'll wean myself off of the corporate teat. And I think that's one of the greatest things that any anarchist can do. And it's a great way, a non-violent way, to fight the powers that be. So what have you done? Think of something. Think of something to do. And something that can separate yourself from the massive corporations. And try to implement it before next week. Or at least get started at it. Maybe next week I'll have more, a better homework. More solid. I just thought of this just now. So just think about it. And then we'll meet back here. Same place, same time next week. Or at least similar time next week. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Have a great weekend. Do something. Do something to protest the massive corporations, protest the local governments and massive federal governments where you are. Do something, and we'll meet back for another episode of Anarcho Book Club.